Well, let's go ahead and start, and I'd like to pray as we begin. Our dear Father in heaven, thank you that we can sit together as ladies, and I just pray, God, that you would help us to apply these things that we're going to talk about today to our own lives. Lord, please help us. Help us to think biblically. And I just pray that you would be glorified in all our lives. Amen. So maybe just to give you a short introduction to my own life, I would like to let you know I am not a professional speaker to women. I am just a normal Christian woman. I'm Christian's wife. And sometimes he tells me, I want you to come with me. And so, you know, being the submissive wife that I am, I'm like, sure, I'll go to Finland. And so I do not want you to think either when I talk about these things that I'm talking about out of Titus chapter 2 today, that I feel like I am this perfect woman and I have, like, I'm this amazing standard up here. I do have a lot to say. I've read a lot of books. I listen to sermons all the time. I'm like, oh, this needs to be something that I can tell ladies. But the reason why I feel very convicted about most of these things is because I've made a lot of personal mistakes. Christian and I have a wonderful marriage. A lot of that is because we've had some good examples in our lives. When we were first married, we said we want to be at a good church, so we went to a church on purpose because both of us were not from families where our parents were teaching us from the Bible. Both of us did not grow up in, I grew up in a church going home, but we didn't really have a Christian family. And so we wanted to have good examples. And but we also are very convicted about a lot of these things because we have made mistakes. And we've seen the difference between doing things a biblical way and not. So that's clear that I don't feel like I'm Miss Perfect Christian Woman. I don't want you to think that I think very highly of myself, because anything that I am is really a gift from the Lord, and I'm very thankful. So I'm going to talk about in this, in both of these talks about a woman from Titus chapter 2. And this first section, I want to talk about God's purpose and provision for every woman. Now, at the beginning of Titus chapter 2, initially, Titus writes and says something about the older men, what they're supposed to be. And then in verse 3, it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to too much wine. They should be teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, to be pure, to be workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. And the reason is so that the word of God will not be dishonored. I think that's just wonderful. So this role of women is a controversial subject today. And Christian talked about that initially, just how really what the world thinks about what a woman should be and what the Bible teaches can be very, very different. And sometimes then we as women do struggle to know, like, what our purpose is and how we should be living. It's like these voices on that side are shouting one thing, but then the Bible says another thing. So that's why it's very good that we have a seminar every now and then or read a new book. It It's not like we're learning new information all the time. If you have been a Christian for any length of time and have learned about the role of women, I'm not going to tell you anything new today. But it's very, very good to be encouraged and to have like a renewed strength to say, oh yeah, I want to do that. I want to be like that. And I want to glorify the Lord. And so that's why this kind of day is very helpful to us. I do realize that in a room like this, we have different women. There's single women. There are married women. We even have a widowed woman. We have maybe women with children, without children. So I know that we all are from different areas of life. But really, when I think that each one of us can learn from this Titus chapter 2, and each of us can be encouraged no matter what our situation is. Okay? Now, some of my examples and some of what we're talking to are definitely talking to a wife. Or, you know, it says to love your children. But I really think that the attitudes and these principles, every one of us can learn from it. So I want you to be encouraged. I don't want you to sit there and think, well, I don't have children or I don't have a husband. We also don't know what the Lord has in store for us in the future. So it's good for each of us to be learning about these things. Maybe you're also, you know, a few of us are a little bit older in the room. Maybe we are the women who need to be investing in the younger ladies to be encouraging them. So maybe you're a younger woman and you need to be looking up to some of the older ladies and learning from them. But even if you're younger, at some point it kind of slips up or it sneaks up on you. But all of us get older at some point, and each of you are older than someone else. So maybe you can be a good example to a younger lady somewhere else. So I feel like it's also profoundly liberating to know the purpose of your life. I am embarrassed to say this, but I have to say that there were the first years of my Christian life, I was actually a bit ashamed to be a Christian. And I don't mean that I was ashamed to the Lord. I was very grateful to God. I was thankful for the Word. But, you know, if you would set me in a group of peers and, you know, if everyone could stand around and say, oh, I'm good at this, or I'm good at this, or this is what I, where I'm from, or what I do, what I believe in, it frightened me to stand up for the gospel. It frightened me to say that I was a Christian woman, and I don't know why. I think it was because I didn't know God well enough. I didn't know the Word of God well enough. But when I started to get to know the Bible better and better, I found it to be very liberating and so encouraging, because then I knew how to live. I wasn't going like, oh, is this okay? Or anyway, it answered a lot of my specific questions about how I should be living. So I do know that we are often, as women, distracted from our purpose by daily life. You know, sometimes there's sickness in life. Sometimes there's a work that is distracting us, or maybe it's school. Maybe it's your research, or maybe it's, you know, family members. Maybe, you know, it's elderly parents that we need to care for. We all have kind of different things in life. But frequently we are distracted from this main purpose that God wants us to be living for. And so I think that if we think about this, that God has placed this purpose for us, and he has given us some very wonderful instruction of how to be a Christian woman. So I am just refreshed when I realize how faithful God is and how he has this provision for us.
I do know, I mean, God doesn't always remove all these temptations or distractions from our lives, but he has promised us that he will help us no matter what situation we're in. So, I think I want to just say a couple of the, tips before. I talked about Titus too, but there's, you know, a few things that we can do every day to prepare for life or to even prepare to be growing in our lives. I think when we're having a quiet time or even in church, when we're just meditating on the word or on the Lord, take time to write these things down. Like if you have some things, oh, I want to work on this, or I want to work on that, or I want to memorize this, write it down. A lot of times we're very forgetful. I think it's weird how we remember things that are not important, right? Like music from eighth grade. If I hear it on the radio, I remember every word. But, you know, I ask somebody their name like four times. I'm like, So, but as far as spiritual things, I have found it to be very helpful to write it down. I didn't bring my Bible with me this weekend because it weighs about 6 kilos, and I was only supposed to bring 5 kilos. So, but I keep, so Christian and I decided we would share. But I always keep a little notebook that are actually for school children because they're thin and they're basically about this size, right, from schoolwork. And so I can always keep it in front of my Bible and I can write down prayer requests, I can write down sermon notes, and any thoughts that I have, I just jot it down in there and then I can look at it again and it helps me. So I would like to say write stuff down. Another thing is pray about these things. And just be a woman, a Christian woman, who prays. Talk to God. And he listens to us. I think it's amazing that the God who created the heavens and the earth and every animal that creeps and crawls and all these people, that he listens to us. Isn't that amazing? So write it down, pray about it, and then do it. A lot of times we think, oh, I want to do that, or I wish I could be like that, or I kind of want, oh, I wish I could read that book. Well, a lot of times we just need to start doing things. So write your things down, pray about it, and then just do one thing at a time. So those kind of things, I think, help me to have a sort of new energy in my daily walk with the Lord. So Christian asked me to talk about some practical things out of Titus chapter 2. And I already mentioned it. In Ecclesiastes, it says that there is nothing new under the sun. I'm not going to talk about anything new today, but maybe you will just be encouraged by this. So I do know that this book, Titus, was written by Paul to Titus, and it was written in a time about 65 after Christ, where Paul writes to Titus about the role of the elder and leaders in the church, how to deal with false teachers. And then he gives instruction in a lot of practical things of how we can bring glory to God, men and women. So it's a kind of a nice short book and very practical for us. We can, as women, then when we're living this way, can really bring glory to God. I grew up in Central California in a valley called the San Joaquin Valley. And I don't know, my mom told me this. I don't know if it's really true, but she said that the San Joaquin Valley is the largest valley in the world. That sounds exciting, right? It's so big that you can't really see from one side to the other if it's, you know, a little smoggy or something. But the thing about the San Joaquin Valley is that there are high mountains on each side of this. Like, it's hundreds and hundreds of miles wide and hundreds of miles long. So because of these mountains on each side, a lot of times it gets foggy in the wintertime. And because of the mountains, the fog gets trapped in this valley. And there are sometimes months, like usually November, December, and January, and February. Yeah. It's not super cold. It's not like in Finland where it gets very cold, but sometimes there's months where it's just dark and gray because it's foggy. And during those times, a lot of times they'll have, the police will have convoys. So that means there'll be a police car in the front, and they drive really slow, like let's say 30 or 40 kilometers, very slow. And they kind of weave back and forth on the freeway, so no one is supposed to drive by them. But the idea is that all the cars follow this police car, and you follow the car, because you can only see like this far. And it's very dangerous. Sometimes there's these pile-up crashes where like 50 cars will crash because they're going too fast. So this is how I like to think of this older woman, younger woman thing. Sometimes as younger women, we don't know exactly how we're supposed to live as a Christian. You know, maybe we became a Christian or we've been Christian for a long time. And, you know, we might want to just go through life and we don't know exactly where we're going. So sometimes we crash, right? But if we stay behind the lights of this older woman, then just watch the women that have come before us, then it helps us to know how to drive, how to be safe, how to get where we're supposed to go. So, I married Christian when I was 26 years old, and he asked me if I would be willing to move to Germany, and I said yes, having no idea what it was like to move to another country. But we have had just a wonderful life together, and in May we'll be married 32 years. And we still are learning to love each other. And I was listening to him just before this. He was talking about how a man should love his wife and lead his wife and be a learner of his life and of his wife. And I thought, oh, he has done that very well with me. And there are different periods of life, you know, before you have kids and you've got kids and then you've got all these teenagers and then they're going away to school. And then now my kids are, some of them are married and having babies. Like, it's crazy. I was just telling Allison, save your Duplos because before you know it, you're going to have grandkids, right? And you can't imagine that life will go by like that. But it is God's plan that we get older. And I think the longer we live, we get closer to, you know, that time where we're going to die. I mean, actually, we could all die any day, right? But if we think about, I don't know, what the life expectancy in Finland is it 85 for women?
A little bit less, I think.
83, or I don't know, 82 or something. But people are living pretty long nowadays. But if you think, okay, I've got, let's say, 83 years, and I'm 57. So that means I only have like this much left. So in my life, I don't want to be wasting my days arguing with Christian or being upset at him because he brought the wrong thing from the grocery store, you know, or upset at him because he, you know, went outside and then came back in and didn't take his boots off and now there's little stones in the whole living room or something. You know, the things that we get upset about in life sometimes are so small. Or if we have relationships with a girlfriend, a lot of times the things that we're upset at each other for are so unimportant. So we have the opportunity to follow godly women and to grow up. So Anyway, I was a teacher, a school teacher, before I had my own children. And so I'm always thinking, or I think it's a little bit funny because I haven't taught for 28 years. But, you know, a teacher is making teaching plans, lesson plans. You're thinking about what curriculum, what books you're going to use, what is your plan for this month, what's your plan for the school year. Well, I feel like this here in Titus chapter 2 is our lesson plan. And it is what we as a teacher should be using. The older women should be encouraging the young women. That's our lesson plan. It's what our teaching plan is. And this is also the teaching plan or the learning plan for the young women. So it's pretty easy. I'm happy about that. So what I thought is I'm not going to talk about the older women is supposed to be reverent in the behavior or not to be malicious gossips. We know we should not do that. We should not be enslaved to much wine. But this is what this older woman should be doing. She should be teaching what is good. Now, we're not all old or older women in here. But I think that knowing what is good for every single one of us. So I went through and I found in the scripture a few things that the Bible calls good. So, because we're thinking, okay, I don't know exactly what good is. Like, I'm supposed to teach what's good? Or a younger woman should be saying I should be learning what's good? So I have some Bible examples of what is good. The first thing is the Lord is good. In Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good." And in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Yeah. So we can teach women about God's character, about the fact that he is good, and all the things about God's character are good. And we can be learning about that. And the second thing that I think what I found is good is it says in the scripture that it is good to be near God. Listen to this verse. Psalm 73, verse 28. It says, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge." Do you know what a refuge is? It is a place of, it's a safe place. We have refugees in Germany. I'm sure there's refugees in Finland, right? A refugee is someone who needs a safe place, right? And we want God to be our refuge. So actually we could say we're all refugees in this way, that we go to God for our safety. We can trust him in our difficulties. Who is it in life who has no difficulties? Everybody has their own list of difficulties, right? Some people do suffer more than others. We know that. I'm sure each of us have experienced someone who has experienced sickness. Or maybe even a parent who has a child who experienced sickness. In the age that Christian and I are, we have seen friends who have experienced extreme difficulty when their children have lived in terrible sin or chosen ways to live that are very difficult. Each of us have our own set of difficulties, right? But let's practice, each of us, using God as our refuge. It is good to be near God. The third thing I got out of the scripture that is good is God's word is good. God's rules and his ways are good. Sometimes we think that we know what's best, but God's ways are perfect. Psalm 119, verse 39 says, oh, I don't have the verse written down, but I wrote down, we need to teach that His word is good. It's His word that helps us, and His word that leads us. Are you looking up Psalm 119?
Yes.
Can you read it, verse 39?
Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good.
Okay, good. And then the fourth thing that I got was God does good. I'm sorry, I should have written it down. He does good. Psalm 119 and verse 68, it says, to God, you are good and you do good. So teach me your statutes. So God does what is good. And that is so important that in our teaching plan or our learning plan, that we put an emphasis on the fact that God is good. And this is important when we have difficulties in life. It's important. It's also important because normally when difficult things happen, people will say, well, why did God allow that? If there's a good God, why does He allow war? We all hear that kind of question. Why did He do that? So it's good to remember, even when we don't know why God allows things to happen, that He is good and He does good. It's just a good thing for us to practice remembering. And the next thing I wrote down is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And that says here, He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So God has told us what is good. The next one is in Galatians chapter 6. I thought I had written all these down on my teaching notes, but I evidently didn't. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It says, and masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with Him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So God tells us that His strength is good. Often when we're tired, I know that especially mommies with young children, you get to be very tired. You're just on duty from morning until night, and even during the night. Sometimes people that have, you know, teenagers in their home, or if you're ill, whatever different times, it's easy to think, I can't take this anymore. I can't do it anymore. It's too hard. And yet, God says that we should be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, that we should put on this full armor of God, and that will protect us. That is God's good provision for us. And then the seventh one I wrote down is, what about good language? Ephesians 4, verse 29. This was a verse that we had printed and had it upstairs on our children's bedrooms when they were young. Because it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it might give grace to those who hear it. So we should be speaking good words. I think we all need to work on that. Words of, I'm not only talking about using like bad words. I'm talking about using words that are good to encourage others. And then we can dress ourselves with good works and good clothing. Let me read 1 Timothy to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says here, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, and not with braided hair and gold and pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. So I think we can dress ourselves with good works and good clothing. So, yeah, so those are some things that can remind us of good things that are in the scripture. And I know there must be like thousands of good things in this book. I just wrote down a few, and I just found them by, yeah, I did a search on the Bible software that I have here. So it was very simple, though. There's some other good things. Isn't it good to share the gospel? Like, I don't know, when I was a younger believer, I didn't practice sharing the gospel. Can we share the gospel in like a 3-minute presentation? Sometimes you might meet somebody, let's say Allison's at the playground and meets some other ladies at the playground with her kids. Maybe she only has a couple of minutes. Well, if we've only practiced sharing the gospel with like the 2-hour format, then you're not going to get to the point if you only have a couple of minutes. So we need to practice sharing the good news in just a couple of minutes. Do we know how to share the gospel with children? That's another thing that we can practice. It's also good to know how to explain the gospel in the half an hour, or, you know, if we have a girlfriend over and we're drinking tea, we have a chance maybe to talk for a longer period of time. But it's good for us to practice that. So, I have another couple of things that we can train ourselves in what things are good. There's three other things that aren't really a Bible verse, but it's kind of different principles out of the scripture. First of all, keep your eyes on heaven and heavenly things. So, with that idea is that every decision that we make, everything that we do, should give God glory. Like, we know that our time is short. Okay, 83 years when you're, you know, 25 or 30 sounds like a long time. But, you know, when you're 60 or 65, that time seems shorter. So let's keep our eyes on heavenly things and use our time wisely. We do know, or I think we know, that the devil is alive and well, and he would like us to waste our days, right? I don't want to be an old woman who said, oh, I never had an impact on anybody. Let's be women who, when we get to our dying day, that we can say, thank you, Lord, for working through me. Not in a prideful way, but that we can say we serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord well. So keeping our eyes on heaven. Here's another good thing. keep your eyes in the Bible. So we need to always be training ourselves in the Bible. I mean, I am not a particularly amazing student, but every now and then I'll read something in the scripture and I'll think, I never read that before. And I've read the Bible quite a bit. So I don't think I'm any exception. My point is that I think God has made his word so deep that we can be learning from the Bible, you know, for until our dying day. We can be learning more about the Lord and more things that we can apply. So keep your eyes in the Bible. We can know more about God's character. Could be that you know Matthew 6:33 by heart. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So we don't want to be learning things so that we're smart or that people say, "Oh, Cheryl's so smart." That's not why we want to be learning. We want to be learning so that we can be giving glory to God. So I don't know if in Finnish or wherever you're from, there's a little song in English that goes, "Read your Bible and pray every day if you want to grow." And it's such as it's this little kid's song, right? Like even 2 and 3 year olds can sing that song. But it is the basic truth that every one of us could sing that song to ourselves. Read your Bible and pray every day if you want to grow. That's a grown-up application to that. So the Bible is our spiritual food. And when we think about the area of food, I like to think about nutrition. You know, we know that we can eat things that aren't that good for us. We know that there are, you know, nowadays there's like superfood, right? The Bible is like our superfood. It will make us strong. It'll give us strong minds and strong bodies. And another area is to keep your eyes on others. So keep your eyes in heaven, keep your eyes in the Bible, and keep your eyes on others. And this is the idea of serving other people. This is how we look for opportunities to serve others. We serve our families when we clean things up, when we make food, when we do the laundry. We can also serve others in conversation. You know, sometimes at church, I don't know, maybe there's someone that comes and doesn't have a friend yet. Maybe there's somebody at church that needs some help. Sometimes those people are a little bit hard to talk to. Maybe I'm kind of hard to talk to sometimes. So I think we can really serve others when we make an effort to have conversation with others. I just think it's interesting when we think about that as a way to serve the Lord, that we can glorify him when we make an effort to serve other people. I know there was a period of time, so our son Philip is quite tall, and there was a period, I don't know, when he was like between 12 and 18, like he grew this much, like he's a tall boy. And so at church every Sunday these people would come up to me, "Oh, Philip's so tall, he's so tall," and I don't know, it just felt like every Sunday we're talking about how tall Philip is. Like it's not that important, right? So it took me a few years of this, because I'm serious, it was probably about 6 years where he just was getting up there. So I started to use that, at first I was frustrated by that, but there could be in our lives areas of conversation that are just normal, like, I don't know, what kind of diapers do you use, or what are you making for lunch? The weather, I don't know, maybe there's this much snow, or maybe there is no snow, or I don't know, in the summer people are looking for mushrooms, or whatever it is. To use those areas of conversation and sort of, you know, I'm not saying that we always have to be quoting Bible verses, but
I don't know, we can still be encouraging others. We can use these normal things in life to get into meaningful conversations. So, I think that a lot of times we spend time complaining. You know, if people are single, they're complaining because they're single. If people are married, they complain about their spouse. If people don't have work, then they're complaining because, you know, they don't have work. If they have work, then they complain about their job, right? I mean, it's kind of a normal thing to be complainers. But I think we can just change those conversations of complaining into glorifying the Lord, being thankful. So, and I think Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7, in German it's called the fifth book of Moses, but Deuteronomy 6 is a great example of how to serve. And I think it's talking to parents here. But I think the idea is that we, you and I, can be serving in all these different areas. Listen to this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You should talk about them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So for all of us, whether we have children or not, just the idea that no matter what we're doing in life, we should be teaching the children. I think no matter what we're doing in life, we can be serving others. And I think that Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 should be, as Christian women, our goal in the church. And let me read it to you. Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. Says here, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are of the household of faith. So do you see what I mean? As Christian women, that could really be our goal verse in life. And so it's my prayer for myself and for us all that we would be able to apply that, that we would apply that in our lives. So I think we can have a few minutes of a break and get some fresh air, and I don't know if you need another cup of tea, but then we'll start again at, I think, right at 3 o'clock. Okay.